This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Nerds! Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Smart Travel doesn't just cover points and miles. They break down all the financial aspects of your trip, whether that's the best days to book, how to avoid hidden fees, or which fancy travel credit cards pay off, and which ones are just an expensive flex. If you want your travel budget to work harder, then dive into the best deals, products, services, and more with Smart Travel from NerdWallet, wherever you get your podcasts.
DGS on KMOX 205. Active on the stream today. You can stream us at Facebook or YouTube. Andrew, who owns Aereos, was inviting us to dinner, which we will definitely take you up on that.
Yeah.
And then Danny said, why they ever took you off 97.1 still blows my mind. I've told the story before, but I'll tell it again. So I was, we put 97.1 FM Talk on the air October 16th of 2000. And it's a pretty interesting story. My understanding from the guys who hired me, because they were competing against a station called The Rock, Casey was, when we were at Emmis. And The Rock, was kind of kicking their ass. And so they decided to buy the signal. So they bought 97.1, and I found out later that they kind of wanted everyone to forget that 97.1 was even a signal. So they decided to put an FM talk station, only the second one, I believe, in the country back in 2000, on the air so that kind of no one would listen. And so they got a bunch of syndicated shows, and they got me, who had never cracked a mic before. So I'd never been on the radio before. And gave me the afternoon show, which everyone in radio knows. You don't get your first job doing PM drive in a top 20 market, which St. Louis was back in 2000. And spent 20 years on 97.1, incredibly proud. We were number one about eight of those years, which may not sound great, but again, anyone in radio knows eight out of 20 is really, really good. Yeah. And very proud of my time there, very proud of the station, very proud of my 20 years. But it just flat out got to MAGA for me, because the DGS was and always will be the DGS. But we're getting so much pressure from new people who found the station because of the after Trump and was like, why are you on our station? You should get off our station, you stupid liberal SOB. And it just got to the point, and my contract was up, and I was going to go across the street to a different company. And Steve Moore, who's still my boss now, came to me and said, what if you went to KMOX? Mark Reardon is way more of a 97.1 guy. We want to make KMOX bigger. We want to make it, you know, more user-friendly. The DGS would do that. And I told him, the only question I have is the AM signal. That's just like owning a Blockbuster video. And so they promised that they would do everything they could to get us on an FM signal. Took 5 years. But that's why, for me personally, next Monday is such a big deal, because that's been my deal ever since I got here. So on Monday, we go to 104.1 FM. It's not going to be a failure. Who knows what it's going to do, but it will definitely get us in front of more people. As most people just don't go to the AM dial. they're just on FM and it's click, click, click and going to this station, to this station, to this station. So it's going to help us a lot and give us the reach that we've always wanted. So, yeah. So no one took me off 97.1. It was within the same company and it wasn't acrimonious. It was just like, yeah, I'm not digging this. The station has changed around me. You guys have built this city that I don't belong in. And that's why I came over here. And it's been fun. It's been weird. It's been great to be on KMOX being a St. Louis kid with all the history and all the legendary status. But now that we'll be able to compete on an even playing field with other FM stations, now it's going to be more fun. So there you go.
Yep. Good. That's the way we should just market it. 104.1 KMOX, more fun.
More fun.
It's going to be fun.
And it's so interesting. Steve hates when I say this, but he's busy right now, so he won't hear it. But John Beck, who hired me 25 years ago, came up with the best catchphrase any radio station's ever had, younger, smarter, better. That was 97.1. Probably still is their catchphrase. And it was 100% younger, smarter, and better than KMOX, because that's who we were going for. KMOX was still number one from six-year-olds all the way up. And so, yeah, it's interesting to have spent 20 years trying to take KMOX down and now having 5 years and hopefully another 10 trying to bring it back to sort of its former glory. So there you go. It's kind of a cool story.
It's fun.
Yeah.
More fun.
Yeah, more fun.
104.1.
More fun. 104.1. Hey, that rhymes. Oh, tell Steve. Let's go. 104.1. More fun.
Razor's Edge.
Yeah, a couple of things I want to talk about here. The first one is last night I was on X, formerly known as Twitter, and I'm just scrolling. I'm having a pretty good scroll, honestly. Nothing too upsetting, and which is rare these days. Didn't see too much porn, which I see on Twitter all the time. but then there's this leftist Twitter account. She goes by the name of Jo. Have you ever noticed her reels?
Not sure.
She's just like a blonde lady.
I know
named
her.
Jo.
Is that the New Jersey lady?
She might be from, yeah, Jo from Jersey. That's her handle.
I've seen on TikTok.
She was tweeting about President Trump and the fact that he says that the J6 pardons like were not valid, which, okay, that's very typical Trump to me. To me, this is not like the most egregious thing he's done in the past week, but she was very upset. And during my nice, calm, pleasant scroll, this is what I see. Here's the thing. F-word face. That's what she calls the president. We knew you were going to try this bleep, but you can't void another president's pardons. The Constitution is extremely clear on this, you traitorous piece of bleep. And I'm just reading this and I'm going, dude, I get you disagree with the man, but am I the only one who just thinks it's like kind of out of pocket to out of nowhere be like, bleep face, you piece of bleep? It's just it's a lot to just be like, you're going on with your day and it's like, oh, that's what you wanted to say to the world. It's bizarre to me. And the fact that it hit me this way, I thought was a little strange because I'm online like all the time. You know, I'm always on Twitter. I'm always on Instagram. I feel like I definitely have my sea legs, but I'm at a point personally where I see this and I go like, man, really? Like, this is so tacky. Can we please just not? And I'm wondering if the general population is starting to feel this way too. Look, I don't have any problem with this woman giving her opinion. I think if you have a problem with Donald Trump, use your Twitter account to fight back. Like, absolutely, it's free speech. I just thought it was a little much. I thought it was a little like overly aggro and just ugh.
That's just all of Twitter right now.
That's true. That's
everything
true.
Is just people slinging crap at each other and then porn ads.
So much Nazi stuff. Crazy how much of that.
Crazy really? Amount of Nazi stuff. Yeah,
I'm not seeing.
Yeah.
I don't see a lot of
that. Anti-Nazi.
Oh, it's pro-Nazi. Definitely. But I don't see that though.
Anti-Nazi, I probably wouldn't have a big problem.
You know what? I see a lot of stuff talking about Kanye and like his latest album, and then they'll just show the swastika, and I'm like, I thought the swastika was bad. Why are we just showing it all the time? Like, I can visualize it in my head. I don't need you to put it on the screen for me.
Yeah, I
don't
know what it looks like.
Yeah, exactly. Like, oh, I wouldn't have known what you're talking about, but now I can really see it here. It's just, I don't know, I'm just personally at my threshold where I'm going like, I just can't with that kind of stuff anymore. If you want to live your life like that, cool. But I think it's a little much for a Monday evening as I'm watching White Lotus and scrolling on my phone.
My response would be, it depends on whether you, Joe from Jersey, is trying to effectuate some sort of change.
Yeah.
Or if she's just bitching.
Well, no, what she's doing is engagement.
Yes.
This is what everybody, everything on there is now about how do I get more engagement and being outrageous.
Then that's the answer to that.
Right.
But if she were a real person and she's really letting out her emotions, I would say, I get it. I understand it. I've been there. But I don't think it does much good. No. And it took me 2 or 3 years listening to Rachel, who kept telling me about the show, like, you just can't get triggered, and we can't just take every single thing that Donald Trump does and spend an hour talking about it. And she was right. And I have come around to that and evolved on that. And maybe I'm just old enough now, and like I talked to Tony Scott yesterday, feeling a certain sense of like time running out, that I don't want to spend any more time on that than I need to. However, I disagree with what he's doing, and I think it's bad for the country, and so I want to lend my voice to try to make positive change. I just don't think acting like you have Trump derangement syndrome is the best way to do that.
No.
Yeah, and I mean, even just take Trump out of the equation, just to respond with so much bile and hatred about anything is just like, whoa, what are we doing here? Like, is this really... It's like I just woke up from a coma or something, because Wheels is absolutely right. This is what happens on Twitter every day. It just really struck me when I saw the F word face. Because that's such a visceral, like, whoa. It just feels a little, it's too much. I just don't get why people want to live like that. And once again, Wheels is absolutely right. It's a way to draw engagement. It got me to pay attention to it. It got me to bookmark the tweet so I could talk about it on the show today because it affected me. But I just feel like if I'm any indicator of like the average person, I think we're all just kind of getting tired of it.
Yeah.
It's just, let's just take it down a few dozen notches.
Yeah, there's a difference between venting and trying to change anything. Because the last thing you're going to do is change anybody's mind by insulting people.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't mean it doesn't feel good. And it doesn't mean it isn't always justified. Sometimes it is. But that's not how you're going to change anybody's mind. That's not how you're going to make anything better. You're not going to make anything better yelling on Twitter or Facebook or anything else. And that goes for everybody that wants to copy and paste the 27-point font that's purple in color that tells you about the latest conspiracy theory that their uncle told them about. And it ain't helping either, because now people think you're crazy. Because you're looking at something that looks like a child scribbled it, and you're sending it out like it's a serious thing. Like that, if you want to change people's minds, you have conversations and you act. You don't just tweet. You don't just post on TikTok.
Yeah.
You want to do so. You have to go do things in the real world that will get you where you want to go.
Related topic. I didn't talk to Rach about this because it wasn't a big deal, but Rach said something yesterday that stung. It didn't bother me, but it stung.
Okay.
When I was talking about, you guys don't get it, and I even admitted, like, I say this all the time, I know I'm a broken record, but life used to be different, and you, seemingly exasperated with me, said, like, you need to let it go, it's never going to be like that again, we're in a whole new world. And I was a little bit pissy, like, I thought about it a lot last night, and unfortunately, because life was just superior 30 years ago, I think you're right, sadly. And what it led me to think was, because when I thought about it, I was watching Chuck Schumer this morning on a television show, and he was just crap in the bed. There's a few things sadder when someone doesn't know it's over for them, whether it's an athlete or a senator. It's so over for Chuck Schumer. He couldn't have seemed older or from a different era, and just making his arguments with his Count Chocula shoulders and just like, dude, you're so done. And it led me to believe, like, we not only need new senators, we're going to need new everything, because we're in that middle phase. Because I'm not that old. You know, I'm not like late boomers. So I'll still be around for a while and still be relevant for a while. And I'm still kind of anchored in 1992. But the fact is, everything from now on is not going to be 1992. It's going to be the new people in this new world that seems so weird to me. Mm-hmm. You feel me?
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's
uncomfortable.
I'm sorry that you took that as exasperated with you. I'm 100% not. I have had those same thoughts and feelings where it's just like, man, once this goes back to normal, everything's going to be okay. But I've just come to realize it's just there is no normal anymore. We are living in bombastic internet land where people say, call the president F-face, and like everything is just as turned up to 11 as it possibly can be. And
I mean, we live in a world where the president types in all caps on social media.
Right. Right.
That is that right there. Even if it's good stuff, is bizarre to me. Like, that's just a bizarre thing that it's like, I'm just going to say all the silly things that I think, and I'm going to do it all the time right here on social media. Like, all right, well, that's different.
Yeah. All of the unspoken rules got broken. And I think most people like them being broken. Like, even if you're not on like Team Trump or whatever, I think a lot of people are like, okay, I like this new way where I get to say and do whatever I want. I don't have to be operating under this illusion of decorum. We can all just kind of be a little bit more real with each other. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing, but I know that that's what we're existing in right now.
Yeah, I'd never thought of it in that way, but you're right. When you go through hard times, you have the flu, you're having a rough patch in your marriage, things aren't great at work. Typically, because of life experience, you can go, this too shall pass. We'll get past this. And it's going to be like it used to be. But I don't think this one's going to.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we have, Donald Trump's not going to be here forever. And Trumpism won't be here forever. But he definitely kicked in the door and created something that has swallowed up what we had before. What we had before is gone.
Yeah, well, when think about it, if you're just a normal person, and not just about him, this is just the conducting of politics and news the way that it is. If you're seeing the people that we are supposed to be, quote unquote, respecting their offices, regardless of what office that is, doing those things, acting the way they do, why would we have to act any different?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Why should we be held to a standard that the, quote unquote, important people aren't?
Yeah. How long do we have here, Rage?
2 minutes.
Can I tell you guys three people that I'm mad at?
Yes.
That's so stupid for me to be mad.
Let's go.
Once again, Sanjay Gupta from CNN. I saw his dumbass doing a whole thing this morning on which of the Wesson oils have the most omega-3s, and I was just raging. Like I'm, you know, tied up and forced to watch him or something. Secondly, the White House spokesperson. And I don't care that she's Donald Trump's spokesperson. She could be my spokesperson. Everything on me, she rubs the wrong way. Like, I know you shouldn't judge appearances. She's a very lovely woman, but that top lip of hers. And then.
Wow.
I'm just saying. And then she seems, everything that people ask, she seems offended. Like, do you get that this is your job? And I understand. Reporters can be aggressive, but like this is literally what you do. You answer these questions. You don't have to be a wuss about it. You can push back, but she just seems like she bristles at every question. And then, Wheels, here's the third one. This is the dumb one.
Me?
Do you know who I'm mad at?
Oh.
Michael Ciani. All the man is doing is competing at the best he can to be the center fielder for the Cardinals. But I think that Victor Scott has played way better than him. And if Katie Wu is right, then Ciani's probably going to be starting in center. And I'm mad at Ciani.
Well, don't be mad at him. That's the manager in the front office. So you could be mad at Molinari for that.
I know.
And I don't think he's going to be the everyday center fielder. They may make that choice, but if they do, I think it'll be because they want Newt in center, which would mean Donovan in left, Gorman at second, and Burleson DHing, because their biggest worry, I think, at the moment is not sticking Gorman and Burleson in a position where they don't play every day.
You made great points last night when we were texting.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, we were sexting.
Yeah, well, you know.
And then he took it to baseball.
It is a Sunday night, yeah. Yeah, it is a Sunday night, so you know.
Yeah.
You gotta have some fun.
And also, don't forget you're mad at Ump Kid, too, so it's actually
four people.
wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
If you've been struggling with your weight, Mochi Health is here to help. Mochi Health is a long-term weight loss solution personalized to fit your unique needs and goals. Meet one-on-one with board-certified obesity doctors and registered dietitians who are on a mission to listen. Eligible patients can access custom-formulated GLP-1 medications at an affordable set price and get them delivered to their home each month. Take our free quiz at joinmochi.com and use code AUDIO40 at checkout for $40 off your first month of membership.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, DGS on KMOX 235. Let's talk to attorney Brad Young. Hello, Brad.
Hey, Dave.
So, you know, you're a conservative. I'm some sort of weird, softy libertarian. but one thing I do appreciate, not in the thank you, but in the get it way of the meaning of that word, is that by the time Donald Trump leaves office, we are going to have a much better idea of what is legal and what is not legal in the office of the president from the Supreme Court, because he is pushing everything, and it's going to district courts, into appellate courts, eventually to the Supreme Court. And that's going to be fascinating because, you know, 10 years from now, we're going to have a much better idea the limits on the power of the presidency. Don't you agree?
Oh, completely. And, you know, one of the elements in the rules of ethics, and believe it or not, most people don't understand, attorneys do have ethical rules. But in those rules, it specifies that you can argue, it's ethical to argue against a good faith challenge to existing law or case law. And while I snicker at a lot of these positions that Trump is taking, I recognize that once a court rules on it, to me, the issue with Trump isn't that he's making the challenges. The issue will be whether he follows the dictates of the courts once those issues have been resolved judicially. And that's really what I'm looking at. with a lot of these, including the deportation of Mahmoud Khalil and others. It's whether the Trump administration follows the ruling of the courts. That's what I'm interested in following.
And we had our first real example just last night when, as I understand it, a federal district court judge, which is like, for those of you who aren't attorneys, that's a big deal. I mean, even just a district court federal judge is sort of like, you know, royalty, and made a ruling that what Donald Trump's administration was doing with these supposed gang members heading to El Salvador was illegal, even said turn the planes around. And now I think they have until 3 p.m. today to basically show cause why they did what they did. Who was it? Was it Andrew Jackson, Brad, who famously said the Chief Justice has made his feelings known, now let him enforce it?
Exactly. That was an Andrew Jackson line. And listen, Trump, in many ways, is a present day manifestation of Andrew Jackson. But here's what I thought was interesting with regard to those deportation of the so-called terrorists or members of the Venezuelan gang, so to speak. The administration said that the plane didn't have to turn around because it was over international waters and wasn't subject to the court's jurisdiction. But when you look at the order from the court wasn't ordering the plane to turn around. The court was ordering the Trump administration to turn the plane around. And the Trump administration was clearly within the jurisdiction of the federal court system. So it doesn't matter where the plane is. I mean, according to that logic, if you have something on the moon, then it's beyond the court's jurisdiction. But, you know, NASA is within the court's jurisdiction. So I thought that argument was that did not pass what we call the straight face test. And I do feel that the courts will reject that argument.
So, big what if here, because we're nowhere near it yet, but what if the courts keep ruling against the White House, and the White House keeps saying, we're going to do it anyway? Like, what's the mechanism in place where if you're going to disobey the Supreme, let's say the Supreme Court backs up the federal court, the federal district court, and says, not constitutional, you have to do that, and they say, well, we're not anyway. Like, I'm not saying that will happen, but if it does, then what?
Well, you know, a lot of my progressive friends, Wheeler, have been texting me that, oh, we're in a constitutional crisis right now. Well, we're not, because at this point, on all of these rulings that we're seeing in lots of areas, whether it's DOJ or immigration or what have you, right now, we're still in the appellate process. So we haven't had a constitutional crisis yet. But the focus of your question is, what happens when we get through and exhaust all of the appeals in these various situations,
right?
And the Trump administration still refuses to go by that. That is what we call a constitutional crisis, where one branch of the government, the executive branch, is ignoring the dictates of another branch of government, the judiciary. We have not really dealt with that situation before, other than, as Dave mentioned, Andrew Jackson, and there was some constitutional crises even then. So I don't really have an answer for you. All I know is right now we're not at that constitutional crisis,
right?
But we're not far from it, or from the potential of one.
So that's why it's such a baffling thing, because what's to stop anyone? Forget this administration. What's to stop any president ever from just saying, nah? When the Supreme Court rules, like, does the military have to step in? What does Congress do? What can anybody do if there's no like prescribed mechanism for this is what we do when this happens?
Well, the only prescribed mechanism that I know of is under the 25th Amendment, where you can declare a president incompetent. But the problem, and again, I'm not making a political statement here,
right.
But in any administration, whether it's Trump or, you know, President Smith in the future, is if you have a cabinet that completely agrees with the president rejecting the dictates of the judiciary, then I don't think the 25th Amendment procedure would even work, because you would have to have a majority of those people say that the president is incompetent. I don't see that now. I don't see that happening under a hypothetical President Smith. And that therein lies the problem.
Brian, one of our consistent streamers, has an interesting point. He says, you mean kind of like how Biden ignored the Supreme Court and kept issuing student loan forgivenesses when the court said no?
Okay, great question. I followed those issues specifically because I was virulently against the elimination of student loan debt for lots of reasons that I'll skip. But every time the Supreme Court or the courts told Biden that you cannot do this, it was always under different statutory mechanisms that Biden was doing. So it's almost like this. It was almost like if the court orders your neighbor, stop yelling expletives at 2 a.m. And then the next day, your neighbor starts reading from the phone book at 120 decibels. And right. The court says, stop reading from the phone book. And so then the next day, your neighbor starts reading from the Bible at 2 a.m. Okay, so every time the Biden administration did something a little different that made it a different legal issue than the one before. It wasn't just a blanket stop eliminating student debt, but it was stop using this mechanism to do that. And then the next time Biden would do something different. So that really is an apples and oranges situation.
So I will give Donald Trump this much. He has a group of outside the box thinking lawyers, because the auto pin signing of Joe Biden's pardons would have never entered my mind. But it's become a thing now. What do you think of that issue?
Well, this is another just black and white issue. In fact, the courts have even ruled on this issue. In 2024, there was a fourth district decision that says, number one, presidential pardons don't even need to be signed because under Article 2, Section 2, Clause 2 of the Constitution, it just says that the president has this power and doesn't say what has to happen to initiate that pardon power. And so the courts have already really addressed this issue in the past. Plus, there's been previous legal challenges going back 50 years about the use of the auto pen, and it's deemed to be as lawful as an actual writing with your great big Sharpie. Using an auto pen is just as viable because it's done with the authorization of the president.
Any other questions before we let him go?
I guess the other implication that's being made with the auto pen, at least when I saw the White House press briefing today, is what's her name? Dave Carolyn?
Yeah, Leavitt.
Leavitt. She was saying, well, obviously, we can all admit that Joe Biden was impaired and didn't know what he was doing. I guess, I mean, does that signal to you, Brad, that those are the next steps that they're going to try to somehow prove in court that Joe Biden was incompetent and had no idea what was happening the final months of his presidency?
Right, because that's a separate issue. Okay,
right.
The one issue is whether the auto pen is or is not legal. And the answer to that is clearly yes. But the second issue is what happens if you have a president who lacks the mental competency to issue a pardon? And that's a different issue. That issue, I don't see as being valid unless you got some court to enter an order stating that Joe Biden was found to be incompetent under the Constitution, and I don't see any court doing that. So I don't see either of these challenges going anywhere.
Chris online is saying, this dude isn't partisan, question mark. Brad, give your conservative resume.
Listen, I'm the most conservative guy. I'm your classic 3-point conservative, lower taxes, strong defense, limited government. But what you see this, whenever you take positions that violate either previous precedent or are not good faith challenges to legal precedent, then that's not a liberal or a conservative position. You should have heard me yelling and screaming from Camo X every Wednesday night when I had my show on Wednesday nights about COVID, about the COVID restrictions, about COVID came from a lab leak. It wasn't coming from a bat that mated with a turtle or anything silly like that. Okay. We know where it came from. As John Stewart said, you've got the Wuhan Center for Virology right there. That's where it came from. So no, my conservative credentials are strong, but I'm against violating court precedent or doing things that violate the Constitution, whether that's liberal, conservative, libertarian, or socialist. I mean, I think my position is pretty fair.
All right. Thank you, brother. We appreciate it.
My pleasure.
Welcome back, 251 DGS. There's a think tank coming up at 4 p.m. By the way, on Monday, when we go to 104.1 FM, Not that we haven't taken the show seriously up until now, but we had a meeting today because when we hit the FM, we'll be in front of a lot more people than on AM. And I just want to kind of do a spruce up of the show. So we're going to be adding some benchmarks and, you know, some things that we do each day, things we do each week, and adding some more guests in. And feel free to reach out to us either through the stream or any other way. Let us know what you like. You know, what do we do that you dig? Because so much of this is just guesswork, right? I mean, prep the show every day. We do the show every day. You go home. You hope people liked it. Some did, some didn't. But, yeah, always feel free to say, like, hey, like, I really like when you do this. I don't so much dig it when you do that. Because a lot of times we'll take that, you know, to heart.
If you like something, tell us. If you don't, keep it to yourself.
Keep your mouth shut.
But just keep in mind, no decisions will be made based on one person's feedback.
Yeah, true. Or even hundreds.
Well, that one probably gets your attention a little bit if you got like 100 people saying the same thing. You're like,
Keep Stairway to Kevin. All right, we'll get rid of Stairway to Kevin.
Yeah, fine. Get rid of it.
We'll delete that.
It's still going to be Sue at 2 on Fridays. Sue will always be here so long as Sue can do it. James Crockett, I believe we're bringing back Paranormal Tuesdays.
Yes.
So, yeah. Now, that's enough. That's enough feedback.
One of us. Yeah.
You, guys one have, of us. You guys have had your say.
If you one started typing, just stop.
Kevin, I just Kevin knocked Rachel's camera down because I'm like, one of us. Flying. One of us. There you go.
You know what is about to get really stupid and really interesting is Drake versus Kendrick Lamar.
Oh, the lawsuits.
The lawsuits and the appeals, and it's quite possibly going to go to the Supreme Court of the United States of America whether you can libel and slander someone in a rap battle. That's going to be the question. Isn't that interesting?
Which, that's all it's ever been. That's all a rap battle is libel and slander.
Not if it's all true.
Yeah, but doesn't it go beyond whether or not it's true? Don't you have to be able to prove that
I'm
it's
not
true?
I'm no lawyer, but I mean, like, the truth is the defense for both of those accusations. So you would probably have to provide some evidence saying this is why I said that, right?
Man, and just on another side, I couldn't be farther removed from that, but how Drake just keeps losing. He just keeps making himself look weak and stupid, right? He just does.
It's
like he can't defend himself in the rap battle. That seems pretty clear. And now he's suing his own company. They're both with Universal. And Drake took a position a few years ago saying that rap lyrics should not be taken seriously. They're only for entertainment, and they're an exaggeration by the very nature of the medium. Mm-hmm. And now he's going back the other way and saying, like, well, not if you say it about me.
Right, exactly.
Well, yeah, I mean, as someone who's followed Drake's career, this is pretty much par for the course. I mean, he's just going to say or do whatever he needs to say or do to win the situation. Yeah. So
we also didn't know when this started, and I think Drake didn't either, is that he was going up against, in a rap battle, an insane person. He's going up against Kendrick Lamar, who you would think would have better things to do at this point, one full year into the feud. You'd think he would have better things to do than still constantly finding new little ways to dig at Drake and upset him. And like, you know, getting to do a Super Bowl halftime show and then like basically making the entire Super Bowl halftime show about Drake and how much he wants to upset Drake and make him mad. Really fascinating stuff into the mind of who I now believe. Now, I'm a fan of Kendrick's, but I now believe is a completely insane person.
Yeah, I don't know that it's insane because it's working. Gets headlines, promotes your product, gets you in the Super Bowl to be the halftime show. I mean, I wouldn't call that crazy.
It's funny. Chris says, who's Drake? And Brian says, you should have seen my mom's face during the Super Bowl when my son was trying to explain the Drake versus Lamar rap beef.
Yeah.
I
will say this.
I tried to explain it to my people, too.
Forgetting the crazy versus not crazy. Nobody cares about your stupid beef. Bring that in your concert. Bring that in your music video. Don't bring that to the Super Bowl.
No. Yeah, I didn't know what was going on.
Nobody cares.
That's
Nobody
the thing.
Cares.
There are people who care, but that is like, you know, it's like 600 people on the internet.
Right, but keep that for
the
people that
are like freaking out about it and so excited.
I keep that for the people that care and leave the rest of us alone. Like, I don't care. It doesn't enhance the performance knowing, oh my God, he just got to dig in at Drake. I don't care. Fight. Go meet somewhere and fight. Just get it over with, man. That's what Gen X does.
Wow, he took that in a different direction.
Just meet outside the school and we'll fight, man. If we're going to have a beef, let's just finish this.
Hi, this is Debbie, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help you with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. And I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
Yeah, we can also send you samples, fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, no pressure, no hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Oh, okay, whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and get up to 40% off with minimum purchase. Rules and restrictions may apply.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games. Or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Ugh, your clothes are too tight, yet you can't lose weight, even though you've tried so many diets. The reason you're having trouble losing weight could be a liver clogged with fat, and that is slowing your metabolism. Introducing Omicid, a natural superfood protein shake that uses natural amino acids and bioactive peptides to help unclog your liver and optimize your metabolism so it's easier to lose weight, and it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Find out more and see the university studies at omicid.com. That's AlmaSed.com.
Street Easy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House of the Home Theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Hey, it's Gemma Spegg, host of the Open Mind Original podcast, Mantra. Every Monday, I'll bring you a new mantra, a simple yet powerful phrase to help you clear your mind and stay grounded amidst the chaos. I'll also share some personal stories, journal prompts, and a weekly challenge to bring each mantra to life. Follow and listen to Mantra, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Open Mind Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.